Psalm 11 here tonight. Psalm 11. Psalm 11, the Lord loves righteousness, as you think about the theme in this. And let me just emphasize verse 3, I believe is a question that's asked, and this psalm answers that question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All right, so let's read this psalm and we'll see what the answer to that question is here tonight, Lord willing. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily or privately shoot at the upright in heart. Again, the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Notice there are some that God hates. Oh, God loves everyone. No, God doesn't love everyone. God loves the world. There's several places in the Psalms that God is angry with the wicked every day. In fact, his condemnation is on the one who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we see here that the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now, what I like doing is, as I study the Psalms, is to take a look at the possible historical context of these Psalms. And some suggest that the historical context of Psalm 11 possibly relates to the time following David killing Goliath. Now, of course, that was an exciting time in Israel as David takes on this giant and he falls to the ground with the power of the Lord Jesus, the power of God. But I want you to think about this, though. Saul became very envious of David. And it's very possible that this is the setting of the context of the writing of this psalm. And again, as Saul became jealous and suspicious of David, some may have even encouraged him to flee for his life. Of course, he eventually had to run for his own safety. But again, we see the question in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, one of the first things I see here is that it refers to foundations, plural. All right, so you think about a building having a foundation, right? So if you don't have the foundation, it's going to be a very unstable building. But you notice here again, it's plural. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now that Hebrew word, and again, the emphasis is on the plural there, but this Hebrew word actually refers to the settled order of things. All right, so if the settled order of things, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? How can we respond to those things? Now, as you think about the plural of that, foundations, first of all, we might think of the foundation of society, law and order, justice, truth, morality. And because those things have been thrown out in our nation's foundation is crumbling. I believe very strongly that we are headed towards we're already under the judgment of God, so you can't say it that way. In fact, we're beyond God bless America. God be merciful to America is the prayer request we need to be praying. But again, as you think about the foundation of society, law and order, justice, truth, and morality, those things have been thrown out. You don't need to turn there, but let me read for you briefly here Proverbs 14:34. Of course, we think that conservatism is going to save America. That is not how we're going to have the blessing of God. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We have so-called conservatives who are corrupt and ungodly in their ways. That's not, of course, God knows the truth of those things. But again, the foundation of society is crumbling. Now, you think about Rome in comparison to America. Rome started out as a republic, which America started out as a republic, to the democracy for which it's, is that what the pledge of the flag says? No, that's what our politicians want us to think. This nation was established as a constitutional republic. Well, the foundations, as they've been crumbling and being destroyed, literally piece by piece, Our politicians wanted us to start thinking that we are a democracy. That's exactly what happened in Greece. That's exactly what, in many cases, happened in Rome. Well, Rome ended up being a tyranny. There was a Caesar that ruled Rome. And let me just say it this way. America, I believe, is heading down the same path. We have more of an empire mentality than we want to admit. You want proof of that? How many times our nation has interfered in situations that was none of our business as a nation? Okay, so we don't necessarily have them conquered, but we are, in many cases, interfering in things that are none of our business. But again, the foundation of society, also the foundation of local churches. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he is the foundation. And then, of course, along with the apostles and prophets, as we'll see here. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's be reminded of this foundation. Of course, Jesus Christ said that upon himself, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's not Peter. Peter was never in Rome. Peter was not the one that Jesus was saying was going to be the foundation of the church. The Pope speaks ex cathedra, you know, but, this is the very oracles of God, but then he violates the word of God. But notice it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's look at verses 9 and following to give us the context of what we're going to look at here. Of course, he says, he that planteth, he that watereth are one, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together, not just for God, but with God. I think that's amazing. God wants us to work with him. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. All right, so this is a spiritual house. We're meeting in a building, but this is a spiritual house. All right, so if this place, this building was no longer here, this spiritual house would continue on. Again, we see here this spiritual building. Of course, 1 Peter 2 also refers to that. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, also we would probably use the term a contractor today, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. All right, so the Apostle Paul has laid the foundation. What is that foundation? He tells us in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation for the church. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. Of course, that's reference to the judgment seat of Christ. We've emphasized that in other studies, so it's not the purpose of this here tonight. Again, we want to look at this foundation. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, again, a spiritual temple, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You and ye are plural. So he's referring to the church collectively. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Also notice Ephesians chapter 2. We see another reference here to this foundation. Let me just say that the foundation of the church, local church, has been replaced with many things today. In fact, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ has been replaced in many cases with the pragmatism of our day. Whatever works to build to gather a crowd, then that's right. A lot of big independent Baptist churches have even gone to that because they're changing their music and all those things. And let me just say this. I say this from time to time. We could get a crowd pretty quickly if we brought the drums in and had the loud music and all those things. Why? Because that appeals to people. A lot of people want drama instead of preaching. All kinds of different things we could do. But again, as I see here, so many things have replaced the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ so that now we have all kinds of things coming into churches today. Change the Bible, all of those things. You notice here what Paul says here, Ephesians 2 verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. All right, so again, we have this spiritual household. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, apostles and prophets, scripturally, I believe, are temporary offices. the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All right, so I believe this is the foundation along with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe is the reference here to the apostles and prophets. Of course, again, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Without the chief cornerstone, there is no stable foundation. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, so again, we see the spiritual house. Another foundation is the foundation of the family that is being destroyed today. Notice with me Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. I believe our world has this all this backwards. God's original plan and purpose for the family. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's the proper order. We have it all backwards today. Leave, cleave, weave. If you want to be alliterated. Again, becoming one flesh. Leaving father and mother. And let me just say it this way. I believe many have left father and mother too soon. I believe that's why we have so much wickedness in our young people today. I can't wait to get out of the house. So dad and mom are tired of them being in the house and say, get out of here then. As soon as you turn 18, get on your own. Get out of here. As soon as you get your diploma, get out of here. Then we have all this wickedness among our young people. And because of that, they start out with a weak foundation for their marriage, for a home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Let me just say this, the foundation of the family is being destroyed by various things. The homosexual agenda, you know, that's what the world calls it. It's sodomy. Abortion. Fornication. Affairs. No, the Bible calls it adultery. It's not just an affair. Amen. All of those things have been chipping away at the foundation of the family. But also the foundation for life. Notice Matthew chapter 7. Let's see what Jesus said about a good, strong foundation for our lives. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Jesus said here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. All right, so James 1 says we are to not be hearers only, but doers of the work. Doers of the word. All right, so Jesus emphasizes that here. All right, so hear these things and do them. And again, even as we saw on Sunday, observe to do, Joshua chapter 1. Notice, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. All right, so bedrock, a firm foundation. And the rain descended. The floods came. Can you hear the song? The wise man built it. The rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. In fact, we heard a modern version of that with the Three Little Pigs years and years ago. And the wise pig even said, aluminum siding, you can't go wrong. It's like, you know, all these things. So. But anyway, building a rock upon, you know, a house upon a rock, a firm foundation for when the wolf comes. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now in Hawaii we had a good picture of this. You know, you build a house, you know, on lava rock or a beach. Without a firm foundation, and you have a bunch of waves crashing in, there's not going to be much left of that house. Notice the rain descended. Notice the storm comes to the one who's founded upon on a rock. The storms come to the one who has a house on the sand. Tapestries. Lots of tapestries. That's the that going back to that little pig, the Three Little Pigs story, and, you know, the Bible version of that. You know, he built his house on the sand and he wanted lots of tapestries. You know, all the visual things. But of course, that house fell. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Notice, It beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. How many times have you seen pictures after a hurricane hits? You know the houses that were built to last, and you know the houses that were not built to last the storm. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. All right, so are we building our house on a firm foundation? Our life on a firm foundation. So again, these foundations, plural, that we must consider. Now, let's go back to Psalm 11. Let's take a look at the answer to this question now as we've considered these foundations that are being destroyed in our modern society. So how should we respond when foundations are being destroyed? Again, the question in this psalm, if the foundations be destroyed, are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? First of all, keep trusting the Lord, verse 1 and 2. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now evidently, some were encouraging David to flee for his life. And let me just say this, if this is the historical context of this psalm, you know, that maybe some people were talking behind David's back, and maybe some people in Saul's family are talking about David. And you know, it doesn't say whether this is a literal bending of the bow or it's just slander. You know, sometimes that hurts a lot as well. Notice it says, for the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow. Maybe literally, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Again, at this point in David's life, He's seeking to serve the Lord and serve his master, King Saul. But again, Saul was getting very jealous and suspicious of David. Why? Because the women were shouting as they were parading through the street. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. And Saul's thinking, what else are they going to do but give him the kingdom? All of a sudden, he's jealous and suspicious. And again, maybe some of David's friends are saying, hey, run for your protection. Listen to me on Nehemiah chapter 6, another example here. Nehemiah chapter 6. Love it. Even some of our young people are looking up these passages. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 and following. Let me just kind of survey down through here most of this. Now, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian, he sounds like a rich oil man in Arabia, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. So notice there were still openings in the wall because the gates were not hung. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Notice they were trying to get him away from the city to do him harm. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. And I answered them after the same manner. He said, no to Ono. Verse 5. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. All right, you think about an open letter. An open letter is a letter that's published widely. It'd be like us, you know, doing a letter to the editor so that everyone can read it. So this is an open letter. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith, whoever Gashmu is, he evidently was an authority on this and confirmed, you know, this is exactly what's going on, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou also hast appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. We're going to tell the king about this. Now, come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Now, probably what really was happening was the prophets of Judah were prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were claiming that this was about Nehemiah, you know, that he had appointed prophets to announce him as king in Judah. Then I said unto them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. You're imagining these things. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Notice afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of, Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Now, I want you to notice what he's doing here. Who was able to go into the Holy of Holies in the temple? Only the high priest that was designated by the Lord. Notice what they're saying here. Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Let's go meet. Go find protection in the temple. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Notice this prophet had been hired by Tobiah and Sanballat. All right, so he's like Balaam, could be hired. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report. Notice to break down his reputation, that they might reproach me. My God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Should such a man as I flee? In essence, that's exactly what David said in Psalm 11. So again, some were encouraging David to flee in fear. You notice again, the wicked were preparing an attack on him, verse 2. All right, so keep trusting the Lord when the foundations are being destroyed. Second of all, in verses 4 through 7 of Psalm 11, continue living righteously. It says in verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Notice there's three attributes mentioned of God here. And as I pray through the Bible, these are the types of things that I look for. The Lord is in his, what holy? What temple, I should say? Holy temple. I gave you the answer, didn't I? The Lord is in his holy temple, his holiness. Notice also it says, the Lord's throne is in heaven. What's that talking about? His sovereignty. He is seated on the throne. He is not pacing heaven. He's not fleeing in fear. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. What's this? His omniscience. God sees everything. So again, as I say from time to time, why is it that we look over our shoulder to see if somebody's looking when somebody is looking? His eyelids try the children of men. Notice also it says in verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Notice here, God hates the wicked and those who love violence. This kind of puts a perspective on the violence of our society. You know, we have violence in our video games. You know, we have violence in our movies, in our rioting, all these things. Our world loves violence. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. All right, so his righteous judgment. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. Fire and brimstone. What does that sound like? About hell. Well, Sodom, yeah. But also, ultimately, in the end, it's going to be the lake of fire. Raining snares, fire and brimstone. But again, I hadn't even thought about the judgment of Sodom. Yeah, look at that. There was no place like Sodom and Gomorrah. We can't find it anywhere. Duh, that's exactly the point. God said he was going to wipe it off the face of the earth. In fact, from what I understand, the Dead Sea actually even spread there because it was lower before God's judgment. It ended up being buried underwater. God says, God acts. It says, this shall be the portion of their cup. And again, all of eternity. Notice the picture here. Fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. Even as the rich man in hell says, I am tormented in this flame. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Let's meet Hebrews chapter 1 as we close here tonight. So, what can the righteous do when the foundations are being destroyed? Keep trusting the Lord. Continue living righteously. Hebrews chapter 1. Back in Hebrews 11, we see that the righteousness of the Lord is emphasized there. He is holy, just, and righteous. Hebrews chapter 1, let's look at verses 8 and 9. This is a faithful... Verses 8 and 9. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Notice this, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. What's the root word of righteousness? Doing what is right. The Lord will always do what is right. Well, I can't see it. You may not be able to see it, but he's always doing what is right. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. So again, this come as you are and leave as you were, and don't ever deal with your sin. That's not God's kind of church. He loves righteousness. He hates iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. I believe that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. Hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The righteous Lord loves righteousness. So, in this day when foundations are being destroyed, are you trusting the Lord and living righteously? You know, if we're not careful, we'll take a look at all the stuff that's going on in this world and we'll despair. The Lord didn't call us to despair. He's still seated on the throne, judging the world in righteousness. Father, I want to thank you for this reminder here tonight. And Lord, even as we see in our world today, many of these foundations that we talked about tonight, the wicked are chipping away at them in so many different ways. Lord, there's an attack on families today. There's an attack in the true New Testament church today. So many things. Attack on our nation. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to build our lives upon a sure foundation. Lord, that this local church will remain true upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, so many foundations are being destroyed today. Lord, help us to keep trusting you, to continue living righteously. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.